Thank you, man.
Amen. If I said to you, our Father in heaven, hallowed, so many of you would feel the rhythms of the Lord's Prayer beating upon your hearts as such a dear response of prayer to our gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, a prayer given by our Lord Jesus when his disciples asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. My aim is to build you up this morning with encouragement to pray. I want you to leave here with a passage of scripture that will mean as much to you as the Lord's Supper. That when you consider interceding for a beloved saint, I pray that this passage would immediately come to your mind. It gives us a strong, sure structure to intercede truly for all the saints. The times of deep distress, the sorrows of this world, and even strife among us sometimes leaves us unsure of even how to pray. We may say, I'm not sure how to pray or what to pray for. So we say, Lord, help me. And that's a good and right prayer, for prayer is simply talking to God. And with this new year fastly upon us, I thought it may be an excellent time to ponder prayer in our lives. Not for any New Year's resolution, but for the purpose to cry out to God, to fill us with the knowledge of His will, that God would strengthen and unify us together strongly in His Word and Spirit. And so today we're going to be looking at three priorities of prayer. Just how should I be praying, and for what do I pray? We will be focusing today on Colossians chapter 1. The focus will be verse 9 through 14. And we will see, number one, the content of prayer. Number two, the purpose of prayer. And number three, the ways, W-A-Y-S. So the three priorities of prayer, the content, the purpose, and the ways. I'd like us to begin reading at verse 1 for our context in the book of Colossians, chapter 1. If you will turn there with me. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. This is God's holy word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard We have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, and so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us, you, to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Let us pray and ask the Lord to give us a blessing upon us this morning. Father of all glory and grace, Lord, we call upon you to open our hearts and our minds to receive your word with joy. Grant us this divine blessing through the work of your Holy Spirit. We ask in faith in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Today we're going to look specifically at the priorities of prayer while Paul is in the midst of prison. He is a prisoner, it says, because of his declaration of the mystery of Christ, which is the gospel. The Apostle Paul had not even met any of these Colossians except Epaphras. And Paul begins by, he begins with thanksgiving to God for them in light of their faith in Jesus Christ. And as we ponder this, we think, what drove Paul to labor in prayer for them? It was not out of a sense of duty, nor from stress, nor from anxiety. There's nothing wrong with laboring in prayer because of those things, but he labors in prayer giving thanks to God for what he had already done in them. The news of their trusting in Jesus moves the apostle to intercede for them. This is so good. So the big picture that we're going to see today, Paul prays for the discerning of God's will and the power to perform it daily on behalf of these saints. It's the big picture. So this prayer, it's in the context of attacks coming upon the church. False teachers had arisen, and Paul wanted to protect them with prayer. So look with me at Colossians chapter 1. Let's look at verse 9. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. What had Paul heard? He heard of their faith in Christ, their faith in the gospel. He knows the need for prayer for these converts because they were suffering. They needed godly living, living their lives for the sake of the gospel, even as to how the church is to worship, how the church is to interact with one another. And how does he pray to God for them? He calls upon God to grant them to be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. The best way to combat false teaching and conflict stirring in the church among believers is grounded in a deeper knowledge of God's revealed will. So the first priority in prayer today that we will see is the content of this prayer. In verse 9, he asks God that they would be filled the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. It's the main content. So the request from Paul for these Christians is for God to do something. God do something. Notice there in the text it says that they may be filled. It's in the passive tense. These Colossian Christians are passive in this regard. This is something done to them by God. This is how we too, beloved, can pray for one another. That God would fill us with the knowledge of his will. Filled with the knowledge of his will. Well, what is the knowledge of his will? Beloved, it is God's revealed will. In the Old Testament, it says that the secret things belong to the Lord our God. But the things that are revealed, they belong to us. It's Deuteronomy 29, 29. The knowledge of God's will has to do with spiritual truth, understanding, and wisdom. It comes from his special revelation, the written word of God. God has made his will known to us in his word. And God's will is not some kind of new, individual, private revelation. God has told his church how to relate. God has told his church how to deal with disputes, how to reconcile with one another, how to rejoice always, how to be sanctified. And even here, how to pray for one another and to love one another. God's revealed will is not optional. To disobey God's revealed will is sin. God's will commands a visible obedience in all our actions. Let me repeat that. God's will commands a visible obedience in all our actions. And oh, how we fall short of loving God with all of our hearts and all of our minds and all of our souls. But thank God, he has not left us to ourselves, but he has sealed his people with the Holy Spirit who indwells us. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Well, as we think of spiritual wisdom, what is that? Spiritual wisdom is divine wisdom. It is a supernatural wisdom of God. This filling in all supernatural wisdom, it's not devoid of the teaching or the studying of the scriptures, but it is God who is filling them with this understanding and the ways. All we have from God is a gift from him. It is he who sovereignly supplies us even with his knowledge and his wisdom. Let us consider wisdom from God. Wisdom, biblically, is it's not the acquiring of more information, although that's good. Wisdom is defined like this: the skillful art of godly living. The skillful art of godly living. You see, spiritual wisdom has its source in God the Spirit through His revealed Word. Spiritual wisdom is the application of God's Word into our lives that not only gives us understanding, but it gives us the skill to live in a godly manner, even under difficult trials. To act unbecoming of a Christian is the epitome of what it means to be unwise or ungodly. What happens in the life of this church? It's an outpost of the kingdom of Christ until the consummation of that kingdom occurs. And so, for the sake of God's wisdom, we, the church, we're called to conduct ourselves among one another in faith, in hope, in love, in patience, in joy, in peace, in gentleness, in self-control, in kindness. This is spiritual wisdom and understanding. This is why the scriptures are relevant each day of our lives. For no one has arrived at this. We are all in need of deeper spiritual understanding and wisdom. And so we've seen the content of the prayer that Paul describes. Next, we're going to see the purpose of prayer. This is the second priority of prayer, the purpose. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. He says, "So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him." So point number two, the purpose of Paul's prayer, they would be walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. The purpose of their being filled with all spiritual wisdom and understanding results in their walk. It is not this data dump with simply more information that tends to puff us up. But again, this wisdom is the skillful art of godly living. And so, what is this walking? What is that? Walking depicts in Scripture the paths of one's life. It is our character. This metaphor of our walk, it's not to be found in ancient classical Greek. It is borrowed over from the Old Testament, particularly from the book of Proverbs. So one's path or one's walk is described as our habits, our attitudes, the choices we make, the conduct, and even the behaviors that are evident in our lives. It has to do with our everyday living, in our day-to-day tasks. That living or that walking is understood to be in a manner worthy of the Lord. And the emphasis is on the moral sense, the godly sense, the Christ-like sense. Think of walk. It's not a fast race, but it's more like daily steps. So later, look with me in verse 10, Paul describes it as fully pleasing to Him, to the Lord Jesus. That is our patterns, our habits, our character, our path. It has everything to do with the visible actions that are on display. And it encompasses our whole life. That is to walk in a manner that is upright. It's a word of caution. It is not to merit grace or salvation, but it is the fruit of it. The Colossians, they once walked in the hostility to God in their minds, and they were doing evil deeds. But they no longer do so, for they've been delivered out of the domain of darkness. And they've been transferred into the kingdom of the Son by faith in Christ alone. So our knowledge of God's will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, it leads somewhere. It produces a result. Our theology will impact our living. And our living will change as a result of our being filled with God's wisdom. So look with me at verse 10. It says, fully pleasing to him. This is the goal. This is the purpose of every Christian, to be fully pleasing to him, our Lord Jesus Christ. The idea is, in all respects, we are to be pleasing to our Savior. Refusing to please ourselves, not pleasing our egos, not giving in to peer pressure, young people. Not giving in to peer pressure. Not just young people, right? But in all we do, aiming to please our Lord Jesus. So this prayer is perennial. Do you like flowers? Any? I'm not a botanist. I'll claim that right now. But I love all kinds of flowers. And to my understanding, as small as it is, annual flowers live and die in 1 year and they're done. But the perennials come back year after year. And beloved, this prayer of Paul is like that of Jesus's prayer. It is sufficient for all our days until the Lord comes. This side of heaven, we can pray for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ over all the world. There is no expiration date on it. It never gets old. It never gets exhausted. So we've seen the content. We've seen the purpose. And now point number 3 in the prayer, we see the ways. The ways. Paul gives us the ways by which the walk is detailed. And forgive me, I'm going to list these ways by letter, okay? Normally, I do not like giving subpoints. In this case, though, it's very important. It's really important. So under this third heading, the ways, Paul elaborates on the walk using 4 adverbial participles. Remember those words ending in ing? He gives us 4 of them that are all present tense. And this means that they have a progressive and an ongoing nature. And this is also the reason that the prayer remains fresh until Christ's coming. And all of these subpoints point back to, and they modify, to walk. And so this is the way a Christian walks. Look with me at Colossians 1:10. It says, bearing fruit in every good work. If you're taking notes, letter A is bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. Bearing fruit in every good work. Not bearing the fruit of evil things they used to do, but bearing fruit in every good work. So this stresses the progressive nature of producing works in all of our lives. Again, our works are not to merit salvation, but show forth as the fruit of the salvation root. So Paul begins this letter even by saying in verse 6, stating that the gospel, look at me at verse 6, Colossians 1. I want to read it. It says, the gospel context, verse 6, which has come to you as indeed in the whole world. It is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since you the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. So this bearing fruit and increasing is now applied to the recipients of the gospel. Like throughout all the Old Testament, these two ideas of bearing fruit and increasing is an allusion to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. This is where God gave Adam and Eve a commission, a mandate to be fruitful and multiply. Of course, this is a reference to their offspring. But let us consider what that meant before the fall. They were to have offspring that were also image bearers. They were to be imaging God in their moral behavior and their ethical decisions. And let's remember too, like us, we are image bearers of God, unlike all other things in the created order. Even after the fall, we are still considered image bearers, although that image is marred. It's not yet perfect. This is also seen in the midst of this one long Greek sentence from verse 9 to verse 20. So look with me at Colossians 1:15. Speaking of Christ, says he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. This is in reference to God the Son. He is not made in God's image. He is the image of the invisible God. And so, lastly, in view of us even walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, bearing fruit in every good work, this calls attention to the new covenant community. So in light of Jesus, the image of God, we are to be bearing fruit in every good work as image bearers and increasing in the knowledge of God. So let us pray that other believers would be bearing fruit. This is letter A. Next is letter B, Colossians 1:10. And increasing in the knowledge of God. And increasing or growing in the knowledge of God. Walking in a manner worthy of the Lord involves continually growing and increasing in the knowledge of him as image bearers. We see this idea several times in the book of Colossians. I want you to see it in Colossians chapter 3 in light of this, verse 5. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. In Colossians 3, verse 5, it says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Beloved, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Jesus Christ, according to Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. Let us always remember that when you think about the knowledge of God or his wisdom, we must think about Jesus Christ our Lord. We are being renewed in knowledge after his image. We are being conformed to him. Jesus Christ is Lord over all creation, and he's Lord over all redemption. And everything that was created is created through him and for him as the eternal Son of God. So our lives may seem ordinary, mundane, but each day is vital. It's a spiritual battle, a day to live for the King, a day to live for him. So we've seen letter A, bearing fruit, letter B, increasing in the knowledge of God, and now letter C, the way of the walk is being strengthened. Look with me at verse 11. It says, being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. How might we walk in a manner that's worthy of Christ? It is under the power of God. It is his glorious might by which we live and toil and strive to please him. It is not by our own power. It is not by our own might, nor the flesh. It is not by the power of the world, nor what the world says is powerful. God's glorious might is the very power by which our walking is achieved. And God gives this to us in an ever-increasing measure to suit our own trials and troubles. Only his power is sufficient to enable us to endure all things and have patience and to have it with joy. It is God's glorious might. We can pray this way at any time, but especially when your life falls apart around you. Maybe a loved one dies. You find out you have stage 4 cancer. We can pray this way. Impatience is the opposite of long suffering. It's the opposite of love. And may God strengthen us with his glorious might for patience and peace. Let us look at letter D, the last one. Letter D. The way of the walk is giving thanks. Look at me at verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. We give thanks progressively and in an ongoing way to the Father in our daily walk. He has qualified us, or it can be translated fitted, or he's made us suitable. That is, it is God who has done the very thing that we may share in the inheritance. Staggering. Our share of the inheritance is not like you get a small portion, but it means your portion is the inheritance. Why? For we are co-heirs with Christ. Our inheritance is the glorious fullness of the creation in the new kingdom. He now speaks of the redemptive categories, and he's gushing. He's giving thanks to the Father for all of it. Look at verse 13. It says, he has delivered us. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Oh, how much we have to continually give thanks to our Heavenly Father in light of this knowledge of his will, his empowering to live, for us to live for his glories as image bearers. Amen? Like the Exodus, God has delivered us from the domain of darkness, and he has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. This is a past tense reality if you are trusting in Jesus Christ. This means you belong to the kingdom of the Son right now through believing in the gospel message. Jesus has truly and perfectly redeemed his people so that we have the forgiveness of our sins. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. It speaks of all of our sins, all of our record of debt being nailed to the cross, that it is paid in full. Oh, let us give thanks. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we give thanks to your holy name. May we not neglect your holy word. Grant that we would have ears to hear, minds to submit to your will in reflecting your glory, your love, your peace, your forgiveness. Father, your faithfulness is unchanging and everlasting. You change not. Father, we fade and flounder, but your years have no end. You are from everlasting. We are totally dependent on you for everything. We ask you to fill us with the knowledge of your will. Father, graciously give us spiritual wisdom and insight and understanding. Grant us repentance if we are consumed with the glory of our own name, or our own comforts or plans and desires. Lord, cause us to be bearing fruit and increasing in the knowledge of you. Strengthen us according to your glorious might, Lord. We give thanks for your everlasting new covenant promises in Jesus. Fill us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.